Bring Maria. Bring Maria. Bring them in there. That's it. Bring them in. Hallelujah. Wiggle them right in there. Good news. Shakita, da, da, da. Now, I don't understand why, but I know you got to stand on that rug. This is the magic carpet this morning. Okay, got it? Don't ask me why, because I don't understand. All I know is to do. I'm not that swift. If you think I can figure it out, as I can't. But I know the Lord said to make sure that I take off my shoes and my socks and to walk around, all around the carpet. Now, why? I have no clue. But I also knew that it was important that you be on the carpet. Release your spirit right now. Father, I know that in the spirit we can all be one, harmonized by the power of the Holy One, harmonized by the anointing of His Spirit coming forth out of our hearts. Say, Father, I release my spirit this morning.
Father, I release my spirit this morning.
To intercede for our nation. Even as I speak right now.
I release my inner man.
To do an intercession. Not only for our president. But for all of those that gave up their lives. So that this nation could be totally different than the rest of the world. Thank you for our ancestors. Thank you for the armed forces that are serving right now. Every single one. I want to remind you that there are seeds that have been put on the table and on the plate that's before us. And our Jesus was planted into the ground as a seed that would come out of the ground. He was not designed to remain in the ground. And these that have been laid into Arlington Cemetery are an example. When I called my son yesterday, and my oldest one is down in Arlington right now, and he was overwhelmed. He's never been there, he said. I thought we brought him there but he didn't come one day when we were in Washington when he was a kid. So he's down there. And he said, Dad, it is so huge. And he was overwhelmed. And I just know that God can move on every one of these men and women that are in Washington right now for this parade that's happening. And these men and women that have now got a perspective on the ones that paid a price that we would have freedom. And so, Father, I thank you that this communion be dedicated to those that went before us and gave up what their brain said, and did what their spirit man said. Thank you, Lord. You know, I'm going to remind you that when a man or a woman gives up his life for his country, it costs his mom, his dad, his wife, his children. Not just for the year of separation or years of separation, but sometimes for years and years. So I'm asking for the wounded hearts that need healing today, that this communion be for them, the ones that are left here, the ones that are alive, the ones that are already with Jesus, we don't have to concern ourselves with them. But those that are here, those that are alive now, need to have hope that God's plan was not in vain. And all of God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
So I lift up this bread and I declare it to be the flesh of our Savior Jesus Christ, because he gave up his flesh and he paid a price that no man could pay. He paid a price because he was the one that had already been given eternal life on the mountain of transfiguration and had been accepted as a son. Likewise, we declare this living bread to give life to us today and to all those that are hurting, that they would come to life in a new way. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I lift up the cup of salvation, the blood of the Lamb that was washed and cleansing all of the ones that went to their heavenly throne and are seated with him. And Lord, we are seated with him. And in this precious blood, we have the authority to come and to release grace to all those that are broken in their hearts. I ask this in Jesus' name. Mary. Come on, girl. For your son and your daughter. For your brothers. Those that you hold in your heart. You'll be blessed as the mother that said, yes, do what needs to be done, son. Do what needs to be done, daughter. In Jesus' name. For all the fathers that allowed their children to go forward in obedience, we respect you, man. We thank Jesus for your obedience. Touch the men and women, Lord, that have lost hope. Touch the men that they would be willing to release their flesh and blood to be given for our nation and for our freedom, such as what you did when it was your turn to serve. Be blessed, my friend. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, not just for our president, but also for the officials in our government, that they would be blessed today. And they would find a consent to obey what God wants, not what they want. Amen?
Amen.
Bob, I believe that you, because of your position in teaching many men how to go forward, let this communion touch all of the executives of BP. British Petroleum. Father, give them the courage to be the men of God. And if they don't know you, Lord, that they will get to know you for the glory of our God. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Bob Trump, we're going to pick on you now. Because of your background and because of the doctorate that you earned by giving up of yourself, and all the men and women that served in our nation as doctors and nurses,
Amen.
Professional people. Thank you. Thank you for the times that you gave up of yourself that we would receive your talents that God gave you. The talents that you gave up so freely to those that came to you. Irene and I are grateful. Lord Jesus, don't forget to heal him. Deliver him from
all the pain in this body and give him quick victory.
Last but not least, for all those that are hurting today because of division and separation, let there be healing in this cup. In Jesus' name. Please obey. I
want to come before the Lord together with what He, I pray, plans for this day, because it's been an odd morning and odd is okay. So we bow ourselves, Lord, to humble ourselves before you, and bowing to your plan, bring forth out of my heart what you have already planted there, whether it's the message that I've seen or more to it. I trust you to bring forth what you want so that these that are here will be blessed in Jesus' name. I also saw Olivia and the kids, and I believe they're working. I don't know why, so we're just going to ask God to just heal them whatever is in their hearts. I want to kind of revert back to when we spoke last week on sanctification. And I just want you to remember that sanctification is a work of the Spirit of God. And you're being made holy by the Holy Spirit. And the first scripture that I want to backtrack on is 1 Peter 1:2. 1 Peter 1, verse 2. You have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and the sprinkling by His blood. Of course, it says, grace and peace be yours in abundance. I wanted to go back there because of what God has really been pushing my buttons on this week. Sanctification is not a work that you can bring on your own. It is a work that's done by God, and it doesn't stop there. I've run across a scripture that was really pushing my buttons in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So I want you to kind of take a peek at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now it talks about the marital status, how God is looking at the wife and the husband and their duty to each other. But then it goes on in verse 12 is where I kind of want to push a button, because it says, to the rest I say this, I, not the Lord. So here he's speaking on his own. If any brother has a wife who is not a believer and she is willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. And the woman, verse 13, and if a woman has a husband who is not a believer and he is willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. Now I want you to remember, we're talking about people in trouble in marriage situations. Verse 14 is the one I want to concentrate on. So if you haven't got a circle around that one, it's time you put one there. Because I want you to see what is the byproduct of the believer. The fruit of the man or woman who believes in God with or without the spouse. Because we've got many that have a struggle with this and they don't know why they're stuck. They don't understand. But here's God's word to you. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife. There's your sanctification again. Because of your holiness and your anointing, who you are and what you are has actually a benefit to the unbeliever, even in his status of unbelief. And it says that you have sanctified him by your obedience. Come on, please somebody say, this is good news. So you understand that sometimes you get despairing because you'd like to have them where you are. Anybody relate to where I'm coming from? You'd like them to be thinking the way you think. You'd like them to be acting and reacting as you have learned. But they're not there yet. Ready? Let's go back again. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. So it's both, not just one. Okay? Now, how many of you have children that would love to just run away from you because of who you are in Christ? Anybody got a comment there? Are you an irritation to them? Have you been an irritation to them? Watch what happens. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But as it is, they are what?
Holy.
They are what?
Holy.
So because of your belief in the Lord Most High, your children are already holy. Now talk about fruit. They are sanctified and holy before God because of you and because what you have chosen. And it is costly. Because you're going to get ridiculed. You're going to get laughed at. You're going to get mocked. My goodness, I should have heard an echo there. Yes or no?
Yes.
It happens. But the most important fact is that the fact is Jesus is making by his Spirit St. Paul make this point. You, by your obedience, have sanctified not only your wife or husband, but your children have been made holy. And therefore, that's why such a war is going on. Now, is that a misprint? Just in case you think it is, I'm going to take you to Malachi. Malachi chapter 2. I'm going to start at verse 10. Have we not all one Father? Did not one God create us? Why do we profane the covenant of our fathers by breaking faith with one another? Verse 11. Judah has broken faith, a detestable thing that has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. Judah has desecrated the sanctuary of the Lord, loves by marrying the daughters of a foreign god. As for the man who does this, whoever he may be, may the Lord cut him off from the tent of Jacob, even though he brings offerings to the Lord Almighty. Another thing you do, you flood the Lord's altar with tears. You weep and you wail because he no longer pays attention to your offerings or accepts them with pleasure from your hand. You ask why? It is because the Lord is acting as the witness between you and your wife, between you and the wife of your youth, because you have broken faith with her. Though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Has not the Lord made them one? Does that apply now? Okay. In flesh and in spirit, they are his. And why one? Because he was seeking godly offspring. So guard yourself in your spirit, and do not break faith with the wife of your youth. I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel. And I hate a man's covering himself with violence as well as with his garments, says the Lord Almighty. So guard yourself in your spirit, and do not break faith. Now, why bring this up? Because I believe even then the covenant was holy before God, and he wanted it to be kept that way. When Jesus was confronted about divorce, he said men and women get divorced, and they got divorced in the times of Moses because hearts were hardened. And that happens even today. And God will respect that decision. But that doesn't mean he likes it. In fact, he divorced Israel. And I don't want to go there. I don't think that's the purpose. I am looking, however, for the sanctification of your gifts. When you bring them to the Lord, and you have aught against your ex, or against a person that is a part of your covenant, maybe a mom, because you honor them with mom, we honor dads, we honor brothers and sisters, grandparents, we honor them. Whether they agree or do what we ask, it's important that we honor them. That doesn't mean that you like what they're doing. But you do owe them honor. So that when you come before God with your gift, you're coming as a person of covenant. Because you honor the marriage covenant. You honor the covenant of your parents, who have made you holy because of their union. Where I'm coming from is the sanctification is God's business. But you and I need to honor God in that sanctification. And if you do what he says to the best of your ability, you will be honored by him and he'll continue to bless you. But he can't bless you if you're out of order in your love flow. Are you catching on? If you're out of order with yourself, and you're angry at yourself, and you're bitter towards yourself because you did a mistake, and you haven't forgiven yourself, clean it up. Get under the blood. You know, God says, I know that you made mistakes. It's not a problem. You might have made a lot of mistakes, but get back under the blood. Get the covenant cleaned up. His way of doing things is a lot different than mine. And so, I want to take you back now on another little trip. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, verse 25. Isaiah 43, verse 25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. And remember your sins no more. Wow. If he doesn't remember your sins, what are you doing constantly concentrating on them? If you've been forgiven, it's time that you clean up your act in your thought life. Because if you're constantly barking at yourself, you're not being in covenant with God's plan, which is what? Salvation. Of your spirit, soul, and body. Isaiah 44, verse 22. Isaiah 44, verse 22. I have swept away your offenses like a cloud. Hee hee! Isn't that cool? Swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. That was the old covenant. You have a better covenant. The blood of Jesus sealed away all of this accusation, this false garbage that you're hitting against yourself. Don't do it anymore. Get with the program. Say, this is a new day.
This is
I have been forgiven. And if I'm still harping on me, trying to get myself cleaned up, instead of trusting what the blood has done, I need a new thought pattern. A brand new thought pattern. I'm justified by the blood. Romans 5:9. I am really justified by the courts of heaven and the courts of earth. And in my own judgment, I need to see I'm free from sin. I'm free from the results of sin. I'm free from the punishment of sin. Because of the blood. I'm holy. I'm sanctified. And it's party time. Micah 7:18. Micah 7:18. Now, get a load of this one, because if you haven't thought that he took care of the results of your sin, you better really check it out. Who is a God like you who pardons sins and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. This is really saying that even if you have sins and those sins had a penalty attached, they've been washed away. Are you hearing what it says? Forgives the transgressions. The transgressions is the part of the penalty that was applied to the old nature. That's what that means. So you don't have to do penance for 3 months. You don't have to fast till the cows come home. I'm being honest. It's already a done deal. And it's soon that you need to put this into your head. I can't think the old way anymore. The religious stick has been taken from God's hand. That's right. You know that religious stick used to hit me over the head every time I made a moo-boo. And I used to beat myself up with it. I didn't wait for him. I used to beat myself with it. Are you catching on? It needs to stop in the saints. You're saints because of your belief in who he is and what he did. Not because of what you did wrong or what you think you did wrong. It's really a done deal. He paid the price. How many of you get a bill for your electrical services for each month? How many of you get? Put your hand way up if you get one. Okay. If I went out and paid every one of those bills, why would you argue with the electric light company to pay it if it's already paid by me? If you got a receipt in the mail that said paid in full, would you argue with the light company, the energy company? Would you argue and try to pay it again? Would you? Well, that's what you're doing with God. That's what you're doing. So you're arguing, and guess who's going to win? You will, because you're insisting on trying to clean yourself up. And he said, I've sanctified you. I've made you holy. Walk in it. Close your eyes. Ladies, repeat after me. Say, my husband is holy.
My children are holy.
Because.
because of who I am in Christ and what He's done is a reality to me. I have been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's got an overflow. It's touching my husband and my kids, my parents and my grandparents. It even goes back and touches them. Men, are you ready? Say, Lord Jesus. Just the men this time. Just the men. Say, Lord Jesus, my wife is holy. My children are holy because of what Jesus has done. The people in my life, the people in my past, have been made holy because of me. And when I repent for them, healing goes on. Even in the past generations. Just like in Daniel chapter 1. When I intercede for my ancestors, it touches my future children. Even those that I will influence in my life. These will be spiritual children. And they will be touched because of me. Because light does not get extinguished by darkness. Its darkness gets extinguished by light. And I'm full of light. I serve a Father who is light. I'm full of truth. And those that are behind me or ahead of me get touched by truth, including the women in my life. It's a reality. It is a reality. Now put your hand over your heart. All of you together. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to apply what your word says. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. There is no God like you that I serve. Who pardons my sins. He forgives my transgressions. And my inheritance is going to be touched because of the holiness that's in me. Because my Father delights to show me mercy. Hallelujah. If I confess my sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive me all my sins and purify me from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It confirms that I am holy. I'm sanctified. And it's about time I believe it. And receive it in my heart. It's a done deal. What a Memorial Day this will be. No more condemnation.
Hallelujah.
That's all I got. Would you look at your neighbor and say, you are sanctified and so am I. Share some hugs with each other.